Hello again, folks. This is Lyndon Davis with yet another in our Debt Domino series. And this time we'll be taking on debt reduction. And this will be the first part in a two-part series on debt reduction. Now, folks, we know that debt is a serious thing. It's something that can be really, really tough to deal with. It is simply easy to get into debt, but it becomes very difficult for many, if not most, to get out of debt. But in this segment, we are going to get out of it. We're going to get out of it, and we're going to stay out of it. We're going to go through some specific measures that you can take as we look at reducing and then eliminating your debt. Now, the first thing that we want to say that you must adopt, and many of you might be saying, he's going to say budget again. He's going to say budget again. Well, it's likely budget is going to come up. In fact, I'm pretty sure it will come up. But no, the first thing is make a decision. Make a decision. No more debt. When you're trying to reduce and eliminate debt, one of the first things you need to do is actually, say I'm never going to have debt. I'm done with it. Finish. Kaput. It's over. You ever thought about how it was when you broke up with that special someone in high school? You went through a whole list, a whole slew of different approaches. It's not just you. It's me. Or we've just grown apart. We're not the same people anymore. Or I found someone new. You know, think about those very same things as you think about breaking up with debt. I really like the we've grown apart and I found someone new thing, because it's true. Debt, you are no longer good for me. Not that it ever was. I have grown far apart from you. Or better yet, debt, I found someone new. It's called paying for what I owe instead of buying what I can't afford with money I don't have. Think about those creative plans that you used to employ when you were younger to get out of a relationship that was totally unproductive, and use the same method when it comes to debt. Break the chain. Get the rid of it. Make that decision. No more debt. Another thing is to have a plan. And the way that you go about that plan is do a spending analysis. Spending analysis we'll touch on in another segment, but it's essentially where you take a look at where you've been spending your money over a two-month period, come up with an average, and then, of course, you know, apply it to your debt reduction strategy. Yeah, here it comes now, that thing that you thought I would have said first. No, it's here now. Budget. Yep, budget. You've done the spending analysis. Now let's use that spending analysis to create a budget. And then employ SMART goals. SMART goals. That is, you've heard the term SMART before, right? It's because they're really, SMART things, SMART anything is really good, but this acronym SMART, it's really beneficial to your financial wellness. So let's go over what SMART really stands for. S, specific. Your goal must be specific. M, measurable. What gets measured gets done. A, achievable or attainable. You've got to be able to get that thing. Otherwise, what are you striving for? Relevant or realistic. It's got to make sense of whatever it is that's happening in your life, or it's got to be something that is actually part of this life. It can't be, you know, something that's out there in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Alice in, Wonderland. And lastly, it must be time bound. You got to have a start and a stop. The only thing that goes on forever, the Bible tells us, is Jesus's words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And by inference, that means God himself will never, ever end. He had no beginning. He will have no end. And if we want a taste of that, we got to cling to his hand. But we'll get to that later. Now we're dealing with this business of reducing and eliminating debt using SMART goals. So let's build out this concept of SMART. And we'll spend the better portion of our discussion building out the SMART goals and apply it to debt reduction. So starting with S, being specific. You know, someone might say, I'm going to be debt-free. To that I say, whatever. I'm going to pay off all my debts. Now that's a better way of getting to that debt-free statement. The M, the measurable part. Someone might say, well, before I actually get into the example, I want to stress again, your goals need to be measurable. They need to have a definitive marker so that you can know when you've achieved it, all right? Have to have it measured. So someone might say, I'm going to pay off my debts as I get money. Again, whatever. That's not measurable. Whenever I get money, huh? What's that? How about this for something that's measurable? I'm going to pay off all my debts by making a payment every month. Do we know when a month comes? Yes. Do we know when a payment is made? Also, yes. We could even get more granular by saying we're going to make a minimum payment, although in another section of our series, I warn against just the minimum payment. But if you wanted to get more technical and more granular, you could. But paying off all your debts by making a payment every month, you are at least measuring the time frame and when you're making your payments to get to the measurable part of your SMART goal. And now for A. Your goal needs to be achievable or attainable so that you are not needlessly overexerting yourself or simply staying put. So again, someone might say, I'm going to save money to pay off my debts by not eating for a month. What? Did they even hear themselves? Right, or better yet, yeah, right. How about this instead? I'm going to reduce spending and use the savings to make monthly debt payments. Is that achievable, folks? Is it achievable that you can reduce spending? Is it achievable that with that savings from the reduced spending, you can make payments on your debts every month? I think the answer is yes. Definitely, this one qualifies as something that is achievable. Now, how about the R? How about the R, the relevance? Relevance is what makes your goal attainment personable and desirable. Where does debt elimination fit into your life for the short term as well as the long term? So, someone might say, I'm going to pay off my debts because a financial guru said so. If it's someone else, whatever. If it's me, good choice. Very good choice. No. How about this for a statement of relevance for your SMART goals? I'm going to pay off my debts in order to live more freely. Now, true, a financial guru, me, might actually say that that is a thing that you should do. But folks, is it relevant to you? For me, if I were in debt, I would say yes, living more freely is relevant. For you, what is that thing? I say make your goal SMART by making it relevant to you. Now for the T. It's tea time. The T in your SMART goals. Having your goal bounded by a time frame ensures that realism of starting and accomplishing your goal. So, someone might say, I will get started soon and finish quickly. Yeah, I heard you even say it. Whatever. How about this? I'm going to start August 1st and be complete by May 31st next year. That's much better, don't you think? So, if we were to combine this entire exercise into one SMART goal, it would look something like this. In order to live more freely, I'm going to pay off all my debts by May 31st next year. To do this, I will begin August 1st by reducing spending and use the saved money to make monthly payments. There it is, two sentences, one goal. It's all done. In order to live more freely, I'm going to pay off all my debts by May 31st next year. To do this, I will begin August 1st by reducing spending and use the saved money to make monthly payments. Now, how do you make those monthly payments? By using one of the methods we will now describe, but first, ponder this. It is better to look ahead and prepare than to look back and regret. That's Jackie Joyner Kersee. Better to look ahead and prepare than to look back and regret. As you are taking steps in your debt reduction plan, you are indeed looking ahead, preparing for that time when debt will no longer rule over you, rather than looking back 3, 4, 5 months from now and saying to yourself, you know, I really should have put into place those things that I heard from the Debt Domino series. It is better to look ahead and prepare than to look back and regret. So now we've looked at SMART goals. And the SMART goal that we came up with is, in order to live more freely, I'm going to pay off all my debts by May 31st next year. To do this, I will begin August 1st by reducing spending and use the saved money to make monthly payments. And of course, the question is, how do we make those monthly payments? Well, we're going to use one of several methods. The first method is called the debt snowball method. Now, let's look at a simple example to deepen the understanding of the debt snowball. See, the way that this name came into being is that as a snowball rolls downhill, it picks up momentum and then it becomes larger and larger. So with the debt snowball concept, as your payments continues to roll on, the payment to the debt gets larger and larger and picks up momentum. Yeah, I guess it works, at least as a concept. And I guess in practice too. I just don't dig the name, but we'll get to that later. In any event, so let's look at this simple example. We have loan A, which has a $20 balance and a $20 monthly payment. And then loan B, which has a $100 balance and a $25 monthly payment. So again, loan A, $20 balance, $20 monthly payment. Loan B, $100 balance, $25 monthly payment. If you make payments in the traditional manner, how long would it take you to pay off both loans? How long? That's right, 4 months. That's because while loan A would be paid off in 1 month, loan B would take 4 months. That is $25 per month times 4 months equals $100, which is the balance of loan B. This, folks, is what most people do traditionally. They pay off one debt and then they move on to pay off the next debt in the same manner with the same payment that they've always done traditionally. Another way of saying that is, once loan A is paid off, they go out and spend the $20. Well, using the debt snowball method, we won't be so quick to spend that $20. We will use it to pay off loan B, and as you will see, it will get paid off faster. So let's look at it again. At the end of 1 month, again, loan A, $20 balance, $20 monthly payment. Loan B, $100 balance, $25 monthly payment. So at the end of 1 month, loan A is paid off and loan B's balance is now $75. That's because we made a $25 payment. So starting month two, we will make the normal $25 payment to loan B, but we now add the $20 from what we used to pay on loan A. That gives us $45. $25 is what we were always paying on loan B, plus the $20 that we were paying on loan A that we no longer have to use for loan A because loan A is paid off. That gives us $45. So folks, $75 minus $45 gives us $30 at the start of month three. So continuing the snowball, we pay off $30 on loan B and now have $15 worth of savings. So what would have taken 4 months in the traditional payoff method is now paid off in 3 months using the debt snowball method. And we get a bonus savings in the process. Don't go spending that money. That's the debt snowball. Now, we will do the exact same thing with the debt avalanche. So if you recall, the debt snowball, you're organizing your debts by way of monthly payment and balances, right? Which debt has the lowest monthly payment, the lowest balance. And we work our way up to the debt that has the highest balance or the higher monthly payment, you choose. With the debt avalanche, you don't organize things according to balance or monthly payment. You organize them according to the interest rate that you're paying on the debt. Yeah, the interest rate. So you would take the highest interest rate credit first, not the lowest. You're going to take the highest interest rate first and pay that off using the exact same method as you did with the debt snowball. That is, you will pay the minimum payments on all the lower interest rate credit. And once the higher interest rate credit is paid off, you use the payment from that to add to the payment on the next one on the list, and you keep going until they're all paid off. Now, this may not seem smart or intuitive to most people, but the real deal is this: by using the debt avalanche method, you will pay off your loans super fast, much faster than if you use the debt snowball method. So again, debt snowball, you're organizing things by minimum balance or minimum payment, whichever you choose. And it's mostly minimum balance, truly. Whereas debt avalanche, you're organizing them by the highest interest rate credit, whether that's a credit card or a loan, whatever it might be, whatever has the highest, that's what you start with. And you work your way down until it's all done, just like an avalanche. It's like a big old rush of snow at you. So what's next? Debt tsunami. Debt tsunami. Well, what is the debt tsunami? Well, I don't know why they gave it the name, but it's a name. It's there. We got to use it. The debt tsunami is where you don't organize by the balance, nor do you organize by the interest rate. You organize by what's nearest and dearest to you. So if you owe your mama, your auto loan, and your credit card, I got to think that one out of those three is nearer and dearer to your heart. So you would look to pay off your mama first, and if your dealer actually sold you a bunch of junk that you didn't need, you'd pay him off last, and then you'd pay on the credit card. So you'd organize it by way of what's most important to you. Mom's most important, so she gets paid first, and then the credit card, so that gets paid next, and then finally the auto loan gets paid. So debt tsunami, you are ordering things according to what's most important to you. Next method for reducing and eliminating debt is the debt snowflake. What is the debt snowflake? Well, the debt snowflake really is where you take any pieces of the method that you're using, whether it's debt snowball, debt avalanche, or debt tsunami, and you take unexpected money to add to the payments that you're already making. So for instance, if you are making payments on your credit one, credit two, let's say, and you get, let's say, a $100 bonus, you might choose to use $75 to add to whatever you're paying on credit A and $25 to whatever you're paying on credit B, and that way supercharge the payoff of your debts. So the debt snowflake is where you're taking unexpected money. You know, you stuck your hand in the dryer and pulled out some pants, and lo and behold, there's $20 extra there. Well, debt snowflake says take that $20 and use it with your regular payments on your other debts to get them paid off faster. And for the record, that $20 you found in the pants that was in the dryer, that's not unexpected money. That's just lousy budgeting. You should have known that you were missing $20. All right, that said, the last is debt dominoes. Yes, the very name of this series. There is a method, a strategy for paying off your debts using the debt domino strategy. The sweetness, oh, it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Yes, it's sweet like sugar in the sugar cane. The sweetness of the debt dominoes strategy is that you can use any or all of the methods that we just described. Whether it's debt avalanche, debt snowball, debt tsunami, or debt snowflake, you can use them all with the debt domino system. Why? It's because the debt domino system allows you the freedom and the flexibility of using anything that you want, because we add one component that is quite often missing when people go about handling their debts. and that is accountability. Accountability. We drive the accountability in the debt domino strategy to ensure that your debts are no more. That even rhymed. Let's say that again. We use accountability in the debt domino strategy to ensure that your debts are no more. That's debt dominoes. Folks, I got a question for you. Are you ready for the question? Are you a 32%er? You might be asking yourself, what is a 32%er? You've heard of the 1%, or as some famous politician would say, the 1% of the 1%. You know, the uber wealthy, those people who have oodles and oodles of money, so many zeros they don't even know where it ends. Yeah, that's the 1%, the really tiny fraction. But have you heard of the 32%ers? More importantly, are you a 32%er? Did you know, according to a 2021 study from Northwestern Mutual, it found that 32% of Americans don't have any major sources of debt. Woo! Think about that. 32% of us walking around on God's green earth here in the old, good old U.S. of A. have no major debt. What a beautiful thought. What even better a sight. This survey included detailed snapshots of debt portfolios for more than 2,300 U.S. adults. Well, by using one, any, or all of the methods we just reviewed, you too can be a 32%er, and for free. How's that for a bargain? You can be a 32%er just by following the methods that we've just described. You can be walking around right now, if you're not right now debt-free, you can be walking around totally debt-free. But, I mean, the downside is this, then you won't be a 32%er anymore, because that kind of pushes the average like higher, right? Like if more people do what we're talking about, that kind of puts more people into that 32% range, and that actually drives it up closer to like, I don't know, 33, maybe 40, maybe 50. The point is, you'll be walking around debt-free. That's the big deal. Do you like apples? Did I hear you right? Do you like apples? Well, how do you like them apples? What a beautiful thing. Let's strive to be a 32%er. In fact, let's strive to push that percentage all the way up to 100%. Nobody living on debt. Everybody paying as they go, paying what they owe. Now, there are benefits for sure of having your debt paid off, without question. So let's go over some of them right now. One benefit is more of your income is available to you. Let's think about it. If you are paying, I don't know, let's say, I think the national average is around 7.5%. If you are paying 7.5% toward managing, or as they call it, servicing debt, debt servicing, that means that 7.5% of your income is not being used for what it is that you want it to be used for. It's being used to pay interest on something that might actually be going down in value. Yeah. You bought that blouse for $100, or you bought that golf set for $500. Well, 10 months later, I promise you that blouse ain't worth $100 no more. It's worth less. And those golf clubs, unless they were owned by an autograph by Tiger Woods or somebody, they're worth a whole lot less than $500. So here it is, you're paying interest on something that's going down in value, and that money is not available to you for your use in some other area. So paid off debt means more of your income is available to you. Less financial risk. Folks, no one has ever gone bankrupt by never owing. The only way you go bankrupt, the only way that you get your possessions taken away from you because of a liability is if you owe. If you owe. If you don't owe, you lessen the risk that somebody's going to take what you now possess. Another benefit, improved credit score. Now again, folks, you've heard me say it before. I really don't consider this really a benefit, because all a credit score says is that you've owed somebody. Yes, a higher score means that you've owed longer, perhaps, more, perhaps, and that you have been faithful in paying longer and more. I don't know why that's a good thing. It would be better if you could just pay as you go and owe nobody anything. Another benefit is that you can retire earlier. Now think about it. If I have a $300,000 mortgage at age 60 and I really, 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 really want to retire, I want to get out of this here old rat race. But I've got this $300,000 mortgage. Do I retire now and risk my retirement money not being able to cover all my expenses? Or do I work till 65 or 70? You got it. You work till 65 or 70. And that, my friends, is one of the downsides of debt. You've got to keep humping it because you kept bumping it up on that credit card. By paying off debt, you get to retire earlier. Less stress. If I ain't got to worry, I don't have to think about paying this, that, or the other thing. That is one, two, three less things I've got to have occupying my mind. My brain is but so big. And if I can get rid of things that are unnecessary like debt payments, less stress is always the best. Another benefit is improved mental and physical health. For many people, debt really causes them to break out in sweats. It causes them ulcers, causes them high blood pressure, causes a whole heap of other things. And without that debt hanging over your shoulders, hanging over your head, you have the ability now to undo that stress and to breathe easier and to live more comfortably. Higher self-esteem. Not that many of us need much of that, but for those of you that have been struggling to get to a goal and you've never really obtained it, once you've paid off your debt, you can at least say, in this one thing, I have done it and I know that I can do it. And one of the last things that we'll talk about here is increased productivity. If you are not working to pay debt, you're working towards some other lofty goal. Think about it. Debt is what you owe someone else. If you're not working to pay someone else, that means that you're working to pay for what you want, even if that is someone else. What do I mean by that? I mean, I might be working to help out a family down the street. When I say working, I might be looking to take some of the earnings that I have to help a family down the street, or to send to a charity overseas, or to help build a community center, whatever it might be. It may not necessarily be for me to get a new this, that, or the other trinket. But the point is, I am now doing it because this is what I want, as opposed to debt, which is saying, regardless of what you want, pay me. You're less productive because the money is now being used on things that do not either align with your values, priorities, or something that will bring a greater impact to those that are close to you or to your community. So that's it. That is what we want to talk to you about in this first part of debt reduction. And before we go, I want you to have this in mind. When it comes to debt, you ought to remember these two things. First, the Bible says to avoid all types of personal debt, no matter what clever terms are used to describe it. This is due to the master-servant bondage nature that is inherent to debt, as Proverbs 22, verse 7 tells us. The second thing to remember is, if you feel compelled to take on debt, let it be the debt of love, as Romans 13, verse 8 instructs us. Well, folks, that's it. This is Lyndon Davis with yet another segment in our Debt Domino series on debt reduction, the first part. We'll see you again next time. Take care and God bless.